Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe and Angel. Welcome to Mailbag Monday, where Angel and I take time and answer questions. And we're going to do a little commercial today. Most of what we answer comes out of the books that we publish. This is one of the great ones called You Don't Find a Great Marriage, You Build One. So a lot of the answers are already in this book, believe it or not. We've covered a lot of stuff. So get some new ones every now and then. We've got some today. So, Angel, let's just jump in.
All right, Joe. I'm a guy in my mid-40s and really like my job. I often feel guilty because I would rather be at work than be at home. I don't think it's that I love my job that much, but I seem to feel more relaxed, I guess. My kids are grown, so it's just me and my wife. Our relationship is good and we get along well. To be honest, though, I almost want our evenings to go by quick so I can get back to work. I really don't like downtime unless I can be just zoned out watching TV, completely disconnected. It seems to be better when I have a project at home to keep me busy. But just to be home and relax often makes me crazy. How abnormal is this?
Well, that's fairly normal for most marriages in our country. It shouldn't be, but it is. Most their marriages start going south the minute you say, I do. You know, you're dating, you love one another, you want to spend time together, you want to hang out, you want to hug, you want to kiss. All of a sudden you get married. Well, I got to go to work, got to pay some bills, got to mow some grass, got to fix the toilet. I got to help the kids with the homework. And all of a sudden you don't have the together time. And it goes day after day, week after week, month after, and you drift apart. We call it falling out of love. And married people fall out of love all the time. We were at a marriage seminar in Kentucky one time. And the guy said, I've learned to fall in love with my wife 6 or 7 times a year. And we just finished the last session on Saturday. I said, what? Yeah, I have learned I need to fall in love with my wife 6 or 7 times a year. I have to re-fall in love with her, date her again, be nice to her, think what I'm going to say, where we're going to go. Go out and eat at least once a week, do something special, just go for a walk down the driveway. I have to plan it. If I don't plan it, we will do nothing together and we will drift apart. And that's where most marriages go. And that's kind of like where you're at right now. You'd rather be at work than with the love of your life. Well, that's not good. That's the second greatest thing God ever gave you was your spouse. What happens? Y'all have drifted apart and it's not going to automatically come together. So Angel, would you like to share something about that?
I think it's very easy to become complacent in any relationship. Yeah. And I think particularly like what you're saying with work, I mean, obviously that's where you're investing your time and your relationship.
It's where you get honor.
So I think Joe is absolutely right. I think you have to take steps and it's both partners. It's not just you. Yeah. Both partners have to.
But you can't wait on your partner. I'll do something. You do something. I'll be nice. You be nice. No, it's a 100 deal. It's like 100%. I'm going to be nice to you all the time, whether you like it or not. I'm going to love you all the time, whether you like it or not. We used to joke that a marriage is actually a funeral. It's a covenant. You can't have a covenant if somebody dies. So a marriage ceremony, you're trying to find that one person you would spend the rest of your life giving your life away to. And you got to do that every day. And there are happy times and there are bad times. It's what marriage is. It's two ignorant people growing up together. It's an adventure, and God said so.
And I think it's very easy to live separate lives. And I know a lot of marriages that are like that. They don't look happy, but there are a lot of people that get into that mode. And
a lot of divorces take place when the last kid leaves home.
That's true.
People weren't mad. They weren't beating each other up. They were just tolerating one another. They'd fallen out of love. And so there's no reason to stay together. I want to leave you. Why? I don't know. I don't like you anymore. I don't love you anymore. So you find somebody else, you fall in love all over again, and you repeat the process. I had one that was married 7 times. She repeated that process 7 times. Well, we fell out of love. No, you didn't. You didn't know what love was. Love is giving your life away. It's not what you get. It's what you give. You're trying to find the one person you want to give your life away to, and nobody understands that in marriage. But if you do that, it reaps a great reward. It really does.
And not only that, love is a choice.
Yes, it is.
And so just as you've chosen to make work the more important thing in your life, you can change that.
Yes.
And redirect your heart and your attention. And what is it you fell in love with in the first place?
Yeah. It's not an emotion. Emotions goes with it, but it's not an emotion. It's a choice.
It is a choice. So just the other day, Joe and I were going to go to lunch and he likes this cheap little restaurant, and I like it too. It is good, but it's like country food, and it's good, but Joe could eat at the same place every day.
Yeah,
I can't do that.
No. Nope.
So I just decided, since I was driving, and I just took us to a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
And I said, let's just have this be our date day.
Yes.
And it was good.
It was really wonderful. It really was fun. It was wonderful.
We really enjoyed it. But it was just like, sometimes you just have to say, wait a minute, I'm going along and I'm just doing the same old, yeah, and you're getting the same results.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to change what you're doing.
Spice it up a little bit.
Invest in it. Show up in the middle of the day. Take her to a movie.
Come on.
Do something different.
Yes.
You know, let's go for
whether
a walk.
Whether they like it or not, go ahead and do it. And eventually they'll like it. Well, this is a great idea.
Let's go to a movie.
Yes.
Or let's go to the farmer's market on Saturday, yeah, and just walk and spend time together.
Yes.
What you have to do is reestablish your friendship.
Yes.
Because somewhere in raising children and family and the busyness of life is easy to lose sight of
you
that.
You actually fall out of love. Love's what you do for somebody. You stop doing. That's how you fall out of love. How do I fall out of love? You stop doing things for one another. You have to start redoing things. Love's what you do for somebody, not what you feel about them. You got to redo the love thing.
And if you would take just a fraction of that intensity that you have towards work and apply it to this relationship, you will change, and it'll be better than ever before.
You'll be sucking the lips off each other's face in no time.
And I'd like you to write us and let us know when that happens.
I know. Thank you.
Hey, Joe and Angel, my husband and I wondered if you have any financial suggestions for young married couples. We both are in our early 30s, and neither of us know much about getting control of our finances. There seems to be so many different thoughts and ideas out there. It's hard to tell if a lot of it is good advice.
Yes, I've got a real simple solution. Whatever you make, you live off 70% of whatever you make. You tithe 10%. You save 10%, you set 10% aside for twice a year to go do something fun. That's your fun money. What's that? 10% of my money is fun money. Twice a year, we go somewhere special. We go on a nice vacation. We go somewhere nice at Christmas. We've got the money to do it. Otherwise, you're living on the edge. You're in debt all your life. You never have any extra money. There's no extra for nothing because you're living on the edge. You got to make your mind up. What are we going to do? Well, whatever I make, we're living off 70% of it. The house payment, the rent, the car payment, the water bill, the light bill, whatever that 7%, that's all we can afford. Well, we make another 30%. No, we're going to make sure we pay our tithe because we can stay blessed on this planet. We're going to save 10% so we can have money when we retire. And then 10%, we're going to have fun with twice a year. So we can look forward to it. What's going on? Well, been kind of a rough month, but 5 more months, we get to take a week's vacation. Because you're saving the money for it. It will make your life so much better. So it's a 70-10-10-10.
Very good.
Very good.
I really have nothing to add to that because that's very good.
It works.
The earlier you start, the better it is.
Oh, early. And I don't care how old you are, you can start today. God, listen to me, God loves to redeem the time.
Mm.
Well, I wish I started 20 years. I've had people get, well, I sure wish I got saved 40 years. Well, you didn't. You got saved today. So start today. God can make up the day as though you've not lost any time. He is the God of time. So start where you are and don't gripe about it.
Joe's talking like an Italian with his hands today.
I am. I feel a little Italian menu coming on.
Can you briefly tell my husband and I what to expect if we decide to homeschool?
Whoa.
We have no idea how to start or what the pros and cons will be. Well, I actually tried homeschooling and I was horrible at it. I actually talked about this earlier today with somebody. I would get frustrated because it was a lot more work than I realized.
Yes.
And so I would say, I'll tell you what, let's go to the mall and just do economics again. It was terrible. And, one semester, that was it. We switched that real quick. So, but I know people that do it and are very successful at it and do very, very well. This lady that I just had lunch with today was telling me that she did it. And as they got older, she would join, what do you call them? Co-ops or something. And where the kids could have, like, they could get involved in sports and different things like that.
Yeah.
So there's, I promise you, in your area, a homeschool community.
Yes.
That if you tapped into somebody in that, or just say, just by word of mouth, if you could just get one, they will tell you because they're very proud of their. We Joe actually spoke at a homeschool convention.
Yeah.
A state convention. Yeah. It was in Birmingham.
Oh, Birmingham. Yes. Yes. Birmingham, Alabama. And there's a great professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, wrote a great book. Mm-hmm. Had three kids. He realized something. My three kids don't do well in public school. Only one did well in public school. So I put them in public school. One of my kids did great in Christian school. My kid in public school hated Christian school, didn't want to do it. So I had one of my kids in a Christian school. Then one of my kids didn't do well in either one. I homeschooled that one. All three graduated. All three went to college. All three got degrees, but they got three different kinds of school. Every kid reacts different where they're at. And so God will enable you to do what you need to do. Angels giving you the great idea. Find somebody in your community that's already doing it. Go hang out with them. Don't buy into everything, but learn something. And you can make it happen. Don't let people judge you. Oh, you're doing that. Don't let them talk to you. Just make your own mind up. It's your kid. God's going to give you what's best for them. You'll know what's best.
Yeah. One time my son said he wanted to try public school, and we had just been through a terrible divorce, and they were at very sensitive ages. And I just felt like it would be too big of a transition to go from, you know, a Christian school, which he'd been at all his life.
Yeah.
To a public school. And so one day he just kept on. I said, all right, well, we'll go visit the public school. We'd pull around the corner. I'll never forget this. This was God helping me out. Pull around the corner and there was police everywhere. And somebody had taken a gun and shot all the windows out of the school.
Yeah.
At least on this one side. Yeah. And there's just police and yellow tape everywhere. And I said, you sure you want to try this? And he goes, maybe not. you know, for me, but like Drew says, it's like picking a church. It's a very personal thing.
Yes.
And everybody can have an opinion about it.
Yes.
But if it's something that you feel in your heart to do.
Yes.
Excuse me. Today, I probably would try it again,
yes.
You know, if I had to do it over again. But so it's just a very personal thing. And if you feel it, you know, there's a lot of resources out there for you. You know what? Just go online and look in your area. You can do homeschooling.
I was a Christian school administrator for 10 years. I loved my job, loved what I did, but we weren't perfect for everybody. My youngest two kids, I actually homeschooled 8 years of their life. But I was traveling a lot, didn't see my kids much. I wanted to spend time with them when I'm home. Well, they're in school all day. I never got to see them. I said, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm their dad. I want to spend time with them. So anyhow, we took them out. We homeschooled for 8 years. It wasn't perfect. I did great in math and science. I did horrible in history and English.
They're talking like people from Tennessee. Yeah.
So when I put them back in school, they had some catch up they had to do in two of those subjects, but they made it. And they all got out of school. They got out of college. They did very well. So do what you think you need to do. Don't let anybody put pressure on you. And there's a way to do it. Don't think I can't do this. No, you can do anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do it. Just take it one step at a time. Don't let it overwhelm you. You're not getting behind. Don't let them threaten you with time. Well, you've already missed 3 weeks and 4 months. Doesn't matter. You can catch up, though you haven't lost.
You can. Both of my kids are Montessori teachers now.
Yes.
And every time we drive past the Christian school that they went to here, they would go, I would never send my kids to that school. And I'd say, listen, could you just please, I was a single mother struggling to put you through private school.
Yeah.
Could you throw me a bone here and quit saying that?
Yeah.
And at the time it was a great school.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like now, but it was a great school for them. And
decision when you made it.
It was the right decision.
Yes.
And so it's funny, but everybody does have opinions about this.
Yes.
And they're strong, and
you will make the right decision. God's not going to let you mess up. You have to wake up in the middle of the night.
If that's what you feel like you're supposed to do, then you're supposed to do it.
Yes. You don't need to know anything about it, just that you're supposed to do it. That's all you need to know. Am I supposed to do this yet? What do you know about it? Nothing, but I'll find out. Everybody does the same thing. Everybody that ever homeschooled started the same way. Everybody started the same way. So it'll be fine.
I have a friend that did it, and then all her kids went to college.
Yep.
And she did very well at it. And I don't know. It just seemed like an awful lot of work. She's more organized than I am. So
got to go with your strength. And Angel's mentioned it. If it's not your strength, you can hire it. There are organizations in every city that do take homeschoolers and, hey, we're going to meet over here every Tuesday and Thursday to teach math.
That is true. If somebody has a strength.
Yeah,
that's true. Or to do sports. I've seen them do that with sports too.
An athletic event. So we played, when I was a Christian school minister, we played homeschoolers. Had football teams, basketball teams, baseball teams. And we got beat big time by them because they're really good. Because they used to get good people to do what they need to do. So
when I was in college, we were I was a Christian school. And I can remember another Christian school that was way more, had a lot more rules than ours did, even though ours had a lot of rules. And I remember they used to come play basketball in culottes. You remember culottes?
I remember culottes.
Those were the days.
Well, our university that two of my kids went to, they played softball in culottes. No shorts.
That's horrible to do to a kid anyway.
Not today, but back in the day.
Yeah. So. Guys, we so appreciate you joining us on our Mailbag Monday. Send in your questions. We'd love to answer them.
Yes.
Or try at least.
Yes.
And we love you very much. Thank you for being a part of our lives.
God bless you guys.
See you next week.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.